Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, 14 flights so far this morning have been cancelled at Dublin Airport as disruption continues due to air traffic control strikes in France. It's expected that 1,500 flights will be cancelled across Europe over the two-day strike, which unions say is over staff shortages and ageing equipment. Ryanair has cancelled more than 400 services both today and yesterday. For more on this, I'm joined now by Michael O'Leary, Group CEO of Ryanair. Good morning, Michael.
Morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. So you have 14 flights cancelled from Dublin this morning, but what's the overall impact for your group with the flights coming and going and over the airspace in France as well?
Yeah, over yesterday and today, as a result of the overflights, we've had to cancel 400 flights. That's 70,000 passengers, Ryanair passengers, who've had their flights cancelled over the last 2 days over what is just another recreational strike by French ATC unions. And they really have very little to complain about. So they're struggling to find reasons to go out on strike. So this week, we think we're short-staffed and we're not happy with old equipment, so let's go on strike for 2 days.
And the big problem, you say, is the airspace.
It's the overflights. I mean, in most European countries, in Spain, in Italy, and Greece, when there's an ATC strike, they protect the overflights. In other words, the flights crossing over the country are protected and can operate. This could happen today in France as well. And of our 400 flights, if 360 of those are overflights, so it's flights going from Ireland to Italy or from Germany to Portugal or Spain to Belgium, there's no reason for those flights to be cancelled except France protects its local French flights and cancels the overflights. We and the airlines across Europe have been calling on Ursula von der Leyen, the President of the EU Commission, for about 5 years now to take steps to protect overflights. The legal basis is there, as it already is in Spain, Italy and Greece, and yet the European Commission will do nothing about this. They won't stand up to the French, and therefore every June, July, thousands of people and their families have their flights disrupted by a tiny number of French air traffic controllers who engage in just recreational striking because they can.
It's the two smaller unions, is it, that who are striking yesterday and today?
It doesn't really matter because all it needs is one French guy to go on strike and all the unions go out in sympathy anyway. I mean, it's, you know, they're not even looking for more pay. They're not looking for better conditions. You know, this is recreational striking.
Well, they do say it's about aging equipment, don't they? And they say it's about staffing levels. But would you not be better off encouraging the French government or the airport authorities to sort out the problems that they have with their staff first, to nail this once and for all?
There's absolutely no point in asking the French to do something about French unions. They're utterly useless. This is a breach of the single market in Europe. You cannot have a single market for air travel and close the skies over France on a regular basis. You know, when the Brexit negotiations were going on, Ursula von der Leyen was telling everybody the single market is at the core of Europe. We'll do everything to protect the single market. But when the French close the sky and protect their local French flights, they happily, she sits by idly doing nothing while they cancel all the overflights.
And you think it is an EU competency here?
Absolutely an EU competence. If they simply took control, and Eurocontrol today could operate, approve all of those overflights over France. We don't need a French air traffic controller to do anything. You just have an upper airspace and a lower airspace. And we could continue 360. 60,000 of the 70,000 Ryanair passengers would not have their flights cancelled today if Ursula von der Leyen actually took some action to protect the single market.
And what are you hearing from the EU Commission about why you don't seem to be getting anywhere?
They wring their hands and they say it's a national competence and it's very difficult and it's very challenging and, you know, a bit like the Irish government with the Dublin Airport cap. They'll consult with people and stakeholders and, you know, they basically sit on their hands and do nothing.
Now, can we talk about baggage rules? I know you're increasing the size of the personal bag. That's the one that we're allowed to carry onto the plane, no matter what ticket. Why are you doing that?
Because the EU Commission has recently come up with an agreed standard size of small bag, which is 40 centimetres by 30 centimetres by 15. And we want our personal baggage allowance, that's the size of our personal baggage allowance, we want our free bag allowance to be bigger than the EU standard. So we're moving ours up to 40 by 30 by 20.
Why? It's not like you.
It is like me. We're a generous airline in Ryanair. Not alone do we offer the cheap seats for everybody going on their summer holidays, but we want you to have a big free bag as well.
Right.
But limit yourself to that one free bag and don't bring a second one.
Right. I mean, that's where you get a bit sticky with people, isn't it? When you're trying to sneak an extra handbag or whatever.
We get very sticky, partly because, one, they don't fit on board the aircraft. And, you know, we allow 50% of the passengers who buy a priority seat can bring the two bags. But there isn't enough room for everybody to bring on board two bags.
Mm-hmm.
And so these kind of nonsensical proposals coming out of the mad mullahs in the European Parliament, everybody can bring a second bag. And, you know, you've an inalienable right to bring it. You can't because they don't fit on board the plane.
So this is the European Parliament, this proposal where they want people to be allowed to bring on seven kg bag for free.
A second bag for free.
Are you trying to head that off with this?
No, this move. No, all we're doing with this move is the Europeans have agreed, thankfully at last, the dimensions of what the free carry-on bag for personal items everybody can bring. That's about the same size as our bag, and we've always wanted our free bag allowance to be slightly larger than the European standard. So we're moving ours up again. And we'll have it rolled out over about the next 3 weeks because we have to adjust our legendary bag carousels at boarding gates at all our airports.
Right. So the proposal from the European Parliament about this 7kg bag, you just said they won't fit on the plane. But what they want is for the bag to be stored either in the cabin as carry-on or in the aircraft hold.
So we'll delay flight departures all over Europe, you know, while people are moving their free bag from the cabin where it doesn't fit into the hold. Look, we have a very simple policy in Ryanair. You have a large free bag you can bring on board. 50% of you can bring a second bag, but you have to pay for it. And anybody else can check in a bag and put it in the hold.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to be delaying flights, switching bags from the aircraft to the hold and vice versa. And the problem is you get these kind of lunatic proposals from the European Parliament, who is generally full of lunatics anyway.
Well, listen, the passengers would love it if you knew you were bringing a 7kg bag that you weren't going to be charged for. That would be great, wouldn't it, if you're a passenger?
No, they wouldn't love it. If you knew your flight was going to be routinely delayed while lots of passengers are having bags switched from the cabin to the aircraft hold, you miss your ATC slot on days when the French
aren't.
But
we all know the
strike.
Rules now. I mean, you could argue that the same thing would happen now. That doesn't happen as it stands. So why would it happen with this new rule?
Because everybody will suddenly have this inalienable legal right to bring as much free bags as they want, and it doesn't fit in the plane, so it has to go down into the hold, and we don't have people at airports to put it in the hold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's a system that works. This year we carry 208 million passengers. There's no demand among Ryanair passengers to change our baggage fees. Most passengers actually comply with all of our baggage regulations. But the European Parliament always wants to do something stupid, introduce some new regulation instead of addressing the fundamental problem here, which is why are we not protecting overflights over France when the French engage in regular recreational striking during the months of June, July and August?
Listen, you say that people comply with your baggage rules, but you had that controversy with the sizers at the airport where there was a sticker added onto the bag checker and people felt Ryanair were getting much stricter about the size of the bag at that time.
No, the narrative was that Ryanair had reduced the size of our baggage sizers, which we hadn't. They haven't changed at all. We added a sticker to make it much more clear what you can bring on board. We're not getting any stickier about the bags. We simply implement our policy and we expect our passengers to comply with our policy. And by the way, 205.99 million of them will do so.
Uh-huh.
We'll have ones and twos, I think less than about 10,000 passengers a year fall in breach of our baggage rules.
And it was because of those passengers that you put the sticker on the sizers.
To make it easier for those passengers and for our handling agents to say, look, that's the size, it has to fit into that.
Mm-hmm. People felt it was a money grab at the time, though, when you brought it in.
I know, but people always feel it's a money grab at Ryanair, despite the fact that last year our fares were down by 7% and we're finding more people at even lower fares everywhere all over Europe. You know, Ryanair keeps growing. This year, 206 million passengers, and these mythical people who feel it's a money grab simply can't get enough of our low fares and our flights to wherever they want to get to.
You'll have to take the sticker off now.
You'll
have to change the sticker with your new rules.
We're actually making the sticker bigger so that actually and the interesting thing is that by adding 5 centimetres to the, it's about another 20% in terms of baggage dimensions. So it's a good news for passengers. They can now bring a bigger free carry-on bag on board. But if you don't comply with our dimensions, you will be charged.
Right,
and the bag will go in the hold.
An extra trousers and a pair of pants and socks.
Now, I think actually a bit more than that. But
sure,
you know,
I'm sure. That's actually
trousers.
No, it does make it does make a big difference.
Live in one pair of trousers for a week.
Is that what you do yourself?
Listen, God bless denims.
€500 fine that you introduced for disruptive passengers who are offloaded from the plane. Now, why did you do that? Why did you feel you needed to do it?
We're really struggling all around. And the problem is we have these disruptive passengers across Europe. We divert the aircraft, we get them arrested. But the local police, whether it's in Ireland or elsewhere in Europe, don't want to deal with the problem. They say, oh, he came from Dublin, take him back to Dublin and prosecute him there. You know, we really need to get the local authorities to be much more aggressive about the very rare but very disruptive cases of disruptive passengers, which threaten safety on board an aircraft.
And how many people have been fined so far?
Oh, I mean, not that many. We've only just introduced it. But I mean, I think in the month of June, we had 7 flights divert so that we could have, you know, passengers, aggressive passengers offloaded off aircraft.
And how do you get the money out of them?
We have their credit cards, you know, but we have the details of the credit cards on board the aircraft, and we'll deduct it from their credit card. We have to have. We don't want the money. I mean, if I could get these people arrested and thrown in jail for a month, we'd happily pay the £500 to the local authorities to get it done. We have to get much more serious about these disruptive passengers who disrupt flights for everybody. The argument we've been making for a number of years now is, why do we not limit people to 2 alcoholic drinks at airports?
Yeah, but then you know the argument that you serve them drink on the plane as well.
We do,
you know?
But I mean, we only serve them 1 or 2 at most. We don't serve people who are misbehaving on board the aircraft. The cabin crew are very good and very professional at managing these people. But if you take to yesterday, for example, because of the French strikes, our on-time performance, which is normally about 90% of flights arrive within 50 minutes, yesterday 48% of all of our flights were delayed, and delayed by these ATC delays. And what's happening is you have people drinking more at airports. Some of them, there's a mix of drink and drugs. And we find then that the problem is passed on to the airlines. The airports don't care. They just want to sell as much alcohol as they can. But we have to deal with this messy passenger, many of whom don't identify themselves until they're up in the air. It's very easy for a drunken passenger to get on board an aircraft. You know, we pull the boarding card as long as they can stand up straight. You know, they're not falling over, not shouting and screaming. We won't be able to identify the fact they're drunk until they're sitting down in the cruise. And then we the problem emerges.
Mm-hmm.
But why do we need to be like, I never understand at airports, why are bars at airports open at 7 o'clock in the morning? Why do you need to drink pints of Guinness at 7 o'clock in the morning? Would a cup of tea or coffee not do you?
Is it an Irish thing?
No. It's an Irish, UK, it's all across Europe.
What, the French would be loading into the pints before they get on a flight?
Well, I mean, we don't have that many originating, but they tend to be into loading into the wine. I mean, to be fair, it is much more prevalent in flights originating out of Ireland, the UK and Poland. But it's also much more prevalent with destination flights. Kids, young people going to places like Ibiza and Palma tend to be a lot more bringing alcohol on board. And then there's a mix of alcohol and drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And we think it's a very reasonable ask for us to say, look, we limit the amount of duty-free you can buy at an airport. Why do you not just limit the amount of alcohol you can serve as well, particularly during delays? We already limit the amount of booze we sell you on board the flight. In fact, very rarely does anybody buy more than 1 drink on board a flight. And it's not an unreasonable ask.
So if you have cabin crew coming down and they're saying, would you like a drink? If I say, well, I'll have 3 gins, are you saying I wouldn't be sold those 3 gins? I'd only be sold 1. 2?
Well, no, you'd be sold 2. We wouldn't sell you 3 at a time.
So that's a policy with Ryanair, is it?
Yeah.
That if I asked for 3 or 4 or 5 for myself, you'd say no.
I would say it could be, if there's a group of 4 of you and you ask for 4 drinks, yes, we'll sell you 4 drinks. But I mean, the issue is if you're misbehaving or you look like you're drunk or you're, you know, clearly drink, we will stop. The cabin crew will stop. So won't sell you alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do it.
And if you're kicked off,
and they're
off,
very good and very effective at it.
If you're kicked off the plane, you're fined your €500. Are you banned then from flying with Ryanair? You gone?
Yeah, if you divert the aircraft, I mean, we have bans of 1 year and 5 year bans. Now, 1 year bans would be somebody who misbehaves. But we've had cases of passenger assaults. And in those cases, we do 5 and 10 year bans.
Okay, so boarding passes are going as well, the paper boarding passes from November.
Yep.
Will there be a saving for you, for Ryanair?
No, I mean, it won't be much of a saving, but like boarding passes are really only used by about 20% of our passengers now. Nearly 80% of our passengers are already using it. I mean, and it's a much better... The reason we want to get everybody onto boarding passes is we are getting very good now, if you're travelling with us, at sending you the messages, your flight is on time, your boarding gate is this, and we can do all that kind of online communications with you through your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You can also pre-order your snacks and drinks on board the aircraft before you get on board the aircraft.
But if
so
you...
it's a much better way.
If something happens to your phone, how do you manage if your phone runs out of charge?
If something happens to your phone, if you're there at the boarding gate, we have your passport, we can see you, the crew will be able to identify you or will check you on. You don't actually have to have the phone there in your hands. As long as you're there with your passport, we can check your passport off the off the manifest. So if somebody's phone breaks or runs out of battery, no issue.
Okay, now we're going to be talking about Donald Trump after the break and his big beautiful bill, but the tariff talks are happening now. We've got a couple of days to sort this out between the EU and the US. How much of an impact will it be for Ryanair if higher tariffs are included on aviation? Because you have this 330 Boeing planes on order, don't you, from the United States, which will be cost you more if all this goes to pot.
Well, if it costs Boeing more, they'll be paying the tariffs. But it will be very disruptive. You know, we have lots, if you take aircraft, both Boeing aircraft and Airbus aircraft that are manufactured here in Europe, have European bits, engines, American avionics. I mean, for every aircraft, not unlike a motor car, it's full of parts that are made in Europe and in America. I think that's why commercial aircraft have always been exempt under previous tariffs. There's a 1979 exemption agreement on all commercial aircraft. We think that's likely to be restored, even if there is tariffs applied between Europe and the US.
Mm-hmm.
But we would hope that Maro Sefcovic and the European Commission will reach a deal with the Americans and that there won't be tariffs, certainly in relation to commercial aircraft.
Right.
We would hope to see tariffs on nothing, because tariffs are very bad for trade. They're very bad for American consumers, because ultimately, while Trump talks about generating billions in revenue, the revenue is just additional taxes coming from American consumers.
But you know, the EU are saying now,
the
EU is saying that we're probably not going to get better than 10%. You know, there isn't going to be a zero for zero.
That may well be the case. I mean, you know, that's just speculation. Frankly, I think the EU should do much more, taking action to address French air traffic control strikes rather than worrying about tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to belittle tariffs.
Well, you had threatened to buy Chinese planes, the COMAC planes, but they're not licensed in Europe, are they?
No. I mean, we were talking about looking at COMAC aircraft back in 2014 when we were unable to reach agreement with Boeing on new aircraft orders. Since then, we've ordered aircraft from Boeing in 2016 and again in 2023. So we will be taking Boeing aircraft right out to 2034, which gives us enough traffic growth here to grow from 200 million to 300 million passengers. So the Chinese aircraft have been kind of, and they're making very few of them at the moment, but it's not an option for us, I'd say, until the late 2030s.
Right.
We're very happy with our Boeing orders. They'll enable us, these new aircraft, by the way, which carry 20% more passengers, but they burn 20% less fuel. So they will enable Ryanair to keep fares very low for the next decade. But we would not want to see those aircraft come with tariffs, in much the same way we wouldn't want to see Airbus exports to the US being subject to tariffs either. Tariffs are bad for consumers and bad for business, and Trump should know better.
Has anyone asked you to run for president?
Absolutely not. I think it's the most useless, valueless, wasteful job. And I have a useful, valuable job here in Ryanair. So I would wish well whoever decides to run for president, but it sure as hell wouldn't be me.
You don't think much of the office, but would you back the Fine Gael candidate if one emerges for the job?
I mean, I've just said, you know, I've previously said if Mairead McGuinness ran for president, I would be happy to endorse her. I think she's been a terrific success on the European stage, both as an MEP, Vice President of the European Parliament, and as a European Commissioner.
Yeah, but you know,
I'm not aware of any other.
Yeah, but you know your intervention in the general election at the Peter Burke event when you spoke about
him top the poll.
Well, it was seen as having derailed the early days of the Fine Gael campaign.
Rubbish. Complete and utter nonsense. Like, you know, what these things are, I endorsed Peter Burke locally in Welfare. He asked me to launch his campaign, which I proudly did. He topped the poll as a result of my intervention assistance. And by the way, which was completely misreported, I was criticised for slagging off teachers.
Yeah.
And if you look at my remark, I said, I think teachers are great. We have teachers in the classroom do a fantastic job. I just think we've too many teachers in the Dáil, one of whom is our current Taoiseach, who 7 months into the life of his new government, with lifting the Dublin Airport cap on part of his programme, nothing has happened. He has a majority of 20 seats. He has a 5-year term in government. Mm-hmm. And still, 7 months later, nothing has been done to abolish this ludicrous cap at Dublin Airport, despite the fact he's a 20-seat majority.
Okay, so if Mairead McGuinness is the candidate for Fine Gael, you will be endorsing her, despite those negative headlines. And you might feel that they were fair or unfair at the time of the general election, but in the early days, they were seen as derailing the Fine Gael campaign.
Only in RTE, but you know, I wouldn't lose too much sleep over it.
All right. Michael, thanks so much for talking to us.
And lovely to talk to you too.
Take care. All right, that's Michael O'Leary. We'll take a break.